Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. I'd like to finish up our introduction or reintroduction to Easter after the fact. As we complete the month of April, I'd like to just sort of wrap up what we've talked about concerning Easter and the more accurate translation being Passover, and understanding this in relation to Jesus Christ. So as we've talked about Easter, as we understand it, we've looked at the history and we've considered the question, what is Easter and what does Scripture say? I've asked you to consider after Easter Sunday, and that is, what comes next? What is the response and the responsibility that is for the church, as well as for those who pass through on Easter and Christmas in particular, and wait to make their rounds once again on the next holiday of Christmas or Easter, and in some cases, Thanksgiving or Halloween or what have you. But particularly as it relates to Easter, we've also considered Easter in relation to the Passover in relation to Christ. That is Jesus Christ as the Passover Lamb. And then we focused on Christ as our Passover, just as the Scripture communicates. So we started out looking at Exodus, and we took a look at the history again of Easter, this word Easter, and how it was translated in the King James. And once again, the more accurate translation is Passover. Easter is not the true translation for the word as it is communicated in the New Testament in the Greek. Understanding this as the Passover, we focus on what the Scripture says concerning the Passover. And then we've looked more specifically in the New Testament at Christ as our Passover Lamb. So just sort of finishing up during this time for the completion of this study, and then resuming, Lord willing, next week, our study as it relates to doctrine in the New Testament, or Jesus and doctrine, focusing on the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. We will continue that as the Lord allows. But let's wrap this up. Let's focus a little. We left off last week. We were taking a look at the Lamb and the blood, and we started out focusing on what is communicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, concerning Christ as our Passover. And once again, I will read this, and it reads, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." This is the King James Version, but the English Standard, I think, is a little more accurate concerning the second half of this verse in particular. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, I would just read the second half concerning Christ as our Passover. The English Standard Version says, "For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." So once again, considering these words and looking again at the Lamb and the blood, and the Lamb being Christ as our Passover and his sacrifice, which required his blood. We talked about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26 concerning himself, that is being betrayed or surrendered, turned over, brought forth to those who wanted to kill him. And he says he is betrayed to be crucified, that is to be impaled on a tree or impaled on a cross. And I just want to call your attention to what is communicated in Isaiah chapter 53. Again, recognizing that what was communicated in the Old Testament, or what is communicated in the Old Testament, points to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice as the Son of God, and his payment for our sins, or himself as the payment for our sins. So when we consider Isaiah chapter 53, I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 10, and I will read from the King James Version, and it reads again in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 6 and 7, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." And this again speaking of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And if we look at verse 10, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." So this once again points to Jesus Christ and the Lord's plan concerning Christ as the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for the sins of the world, and God's pleasure in his Son, even in relation to his slaughter, and that is his death. But also this points to the resurrection of Christ, and that he sees the results of his sacrifice, his atonement. And this is what we're going to speak a little more to as well. So the reality of his sacrifice is communicated in Scripture in as much as the power, the truth, the reality of his resurrection. So again, what Christ has done, he has done once and for all, and his work is finished in relation to sacrificing himself for our sins. He is the Lamb, and it is the blood of the Lamb, that is the blood of Jesus Christ, that has paid the price for our sins. This is how we are forgiven for our sins. So we look again and consider this in relation to the Passover or Easter, and what follows is our response to what the Lord has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. So how do we respond to this as God's people, and also as those who hear the message, the good news concerning Jesus Christ? And especially when we talk about it during Easter, this Passover, this sacrifice, this reminder where we remember the memorial and also the celebration of what he has done, because we should remember that the Lord has commanded this to be a feast as well as a memorial. So this should call our attention and stir us up to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us through his Son, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the sins of the world. And he was raised again by the power of God on the third day, having all power or all authority, and particularly over sin, death, the devil, and the grave. So Christ gives us victory, but we're going to speak again more specifically to who he is and what he has done in relation to the Passover. He is the Lamb of God who shed his blood for the sins of the world. Now, we've spoken to this already in looking at the Passover in relation to Easter, and again, the Passover in relation to Jesus Christ. But as we consider once again the blood of Jesus, I just want to remind us of what Peter has said concerning the blood of Christ, that his blood is precious. And this is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And we did read this the last time that we talked about the Passover. But I just want to bring to our attention again the value of the blood of Christ. When Peter communicates in the first chapter, 1 Peter, verse 19, that we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This speaks of the value of his blood. And this is what Jesus does as the Lamb of God. He sheds his blood, and his blood redeems us. And that is, Christ pays the price. He atones for our sin, that is, our offenses against God. So when we consider how we respond after Easter, or even in relation to Easter, after we understand what has been done for us, again, what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us, then we respond to what God has done. Inasmuch as when we looked at Exodus chapter 12, the children of Israel responded to the instructions that were given to them according to what God communicated to Moses and Aaron. And so there is a response. And as we read in Exodus chapter 12, the people bowed, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. And they responded in obedience to what God required. And that is, there must be obedience as it relates to what God said must be done concerning the Passover. That is the lamb and the blood in order for God to pass over those who trust in the blood. And that means that they obey what God told them to do in relation to the lamb and the blood, in relation to the Passover sacrifice. So this is what God calls us to. He calls us to worship in obedience. That is, to respond to him, to trust in what he has commanded us to do. And in this case, he has commanded us to trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, who paid the price for our sins. So this is the question for us to consider. And that is, do you trust in Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins? Or are you trying to manufacture or rely on some other means of salvation, which is actually no means of salvation, because it is only in Christ? There's only one Passover lamb for the sins of the world, and his name is Jesus, and he is the Christ. He is the Son of God who was crucified for our sins. So when we consider the value of his blood, he again is the only one who could pay the cost for us. He's the only one who could redeem us to God. And that again has to do with the payment, the required payment for our sins. And it is in his blood. And that's why his blood as the lamb is so valuable. It is precious, because only his blood could pay for our sins. Only his blood could cover our sins. And so this is what Peter speaks to in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So as we continue to consider what's communicated concerning Jesus Christ as the Lamb and his blood, we can take a look also at what's communicated when the Lord actually meets with his disciples for the Lord's Supper. So if we continue down in Matthew chapter 26, then we have the words of our Lord as it relates to what he has done. And I read this again the last time, but I want to emphasize the New Testament part as we consider what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, looking at starting at verse 26. And it says again that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So this again is the Passover that they are sharing and recognizing, well, Jesus presenting himself as the Lamb. They don't quite understand it, but this is what is understood certainly after the fact, when their eyes are open to the truth of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, his shed blood, and the power of his resurrection, the gospel, the good news. So when we consider this again, it goes on to say here in verse 27, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament,'" or of the Testament. So, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So again, we see what Christ has done for us to be forgiven, and it is the testament. It is the testimony concerning who he is. And we do know, based on what is communicated throughout the New Testament after the resurrection of Christ, or concerning Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection, we understand that this is a new covenant. This is a new testament. So Christ is the fulfillment of what was communicated in the Old Testament concerning the Passover and concerning his shed blood. And the salvation, it comes through faith in the blood of the Lamb. That is obeying what God says concerning the blood. So are you covered in the blood of the Lamb? God has already presented the sacrifice. Christ has already done the work. That is, he finished the work. And now we are called to trust in his sacrifice, which specifically means to trust in his blood. And it is not just a confession, but it is a confession. It comes with obedience. And that is, we live under the blood of Jesus Christ, or according to the new life that we have because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made. So we've been set free. And this is what we need to understand in relation to what Christ has done. It is the forgiveness of sins. It is the New Testament, or the testimony concerning Christ as the Lamb of God who paid for our sins. But it is also a new life. Or maybe I should say, instead of but, because that makes it sound like there's a contrast, it is really a continuation. So I should say, rather than saying but it is a new life, I would say and it is a new life, because it is a continuation based on the work that Christ has done for us in shedding his blood and reconciling us to God. Okay, so we are restored, we are brought back to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood, the Lamb of God, Christ our Passover. So when Jesus communicates this concerning the Lord's Supper, we also know that the Apostle Paul spoke to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is what we've also discussed just very briefly, but I sort of want to highlight it a little more so that we understand the importance of our response to what Christ has done. So the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm starting at verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And once again, this is a reminder of the memorial, how we remember what Christ has done. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, this is what we must recognize. This is what we must realize. This is what we remember, as well as what we celebrate, what Jesus has done for us. So we would substitute again, rather than saying Easter with bunnies and eggs and chocolate and malted, you know, eggs and everything that comes with this, we must first and foremost remember what Christ has done for us, because in the truest sense, it is not Easter according to that word and how we understand it, but it is the Passover. It is the sacrifice. It is the Lamb of God. It is the blood of the Lamb. And it is our remembering, or the memorial that God requires concerning the Lamb. Inasmuch as he required it in the Old Testament, he requires it in the New Testament. Only in the New Testament, it is fulfilled in Christ. So there is nothing more to follow Christ, or no one else to follow Christ. There's not another lamb. There's not another sacrifice that is necessary, as this is also spelled out in the book of Hebrews. But it is important to remember. And then Christ communicated, just as he communicated to his disciples, he said, I will not drink of this fruit or this cup again with you until this will follow his return in his kingdom. And that's a paraphrase, but this is what Jesus communicates. So in the meantime, we are called to remember. And then it says in verse 25 here, once again, in 1 Corinthians Chapter 11, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So this is what we do. We proclaim the death of Jesus Christ as our Passover, as the Lamb of God who shed his blood for us. And we recognize this is the New Testament. This is the new covenant. And so we celebrate this and we remember what Christ has done for us in shedding his blood and paying the price. And the scripture, you know, continues with communicating what Jesus says concerning himself and what the scripture says concerning him in relation to the Passover, or in relation to him being the Lamb of God who shed his blood for our sins. Even Pilate spoke concerning Jesus Christ and his blood. And it's interesting. This is what Pilate says in Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25. It says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. So again, this highlights really addresses the innocence of Jesus Christ as the Lamb. And this is what Peter means when he says he is without spot or without blemish. He is blameless. He is spotless. He is pure. And that is, again, the value of his blood, because his blood is pure. And this is the blood that he shed for us and for our sins. And as we consider what is communicated in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says concerning Jesus Christ, again, in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Look at this, through faith in his blood, speaking of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So concerning Jesus Christ, God has sent him, or set him forth, brought him forth to be the atonement through faith in his blood. This is what is required of us. God provides the atonement. God provides the lamb. As I said from back in Genesis, when Abraham tells Isaac that the Lord will provide a lamb for himself in Genesis chapter 22, this says God has set him forth. God has presented him. God presented him to himself. Christ presented himself on our behalf as the atonement, that is through faith in his blood. This is how we receive the forgiveness of sins, and to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And this is in relation to what God requires. So the remission of sins that are past, this speaks to Christ owning our sins, taking our sins upon himself. And this is in accordance with what God had purposed or planned. This is the long suffering, the perseverance of God. This is God's plan coming to fruition, and we wouldn't expect otherwise. So what God purposes and plans, he does, and he finishes, and he completes. And this is what he has done for us in his son, through his son, Jesus Christ, and specifically through his blood. So this, again, is our atonement through faith in his blood. You must trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. So what happens after Easter? How do you respond to Christ, our Passover lamb having been sacrificed for us? You don't wait another year to re-engage and hear this again. You are called to remember, to serve, to bow and worship, to obey, to live for God, because you've been set free from your sin. You've been forgiven. So now the call is to live for God in Jesus Christ, which is what we looked at when the Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So how is that? Then we give our lives over to God through his son, and we identify with his death. We trust in his blood, and then God gives us new life. He raises us to new life in as much as he raised Christ to new life on the third day so that we might live for him. The payment has been made. Our redemption has been purchased. We have been bought with the blood of God through his son, Jesus Christ. And again, he took our sins upon himself. And this is, what is communicated in Romans 3:25, but even more clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And this is what is communicated again by the Apostle Paul, where he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And what the Apostle Paul is calling and really reminding the saints in Corinth, the church at Corinth, the believers, what he's reminding them of is their reconciliation to God, to be reconciled, to live according to the reconciliation that we have in Jesus Christ. Christ has brought us to God through his blood. And what we often hear are a lot of people coming up with their own ideas about how they're going to get to God and what they're going to do when they get to heaven, and they don't have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in the purchase that God has made in order for them to inherit the kingdom of heaven and to be with God. And that is sad, because there's no way around it. You cannot be restored to God. You cannot be reconciled to God. You cannot be accepted by God apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Inasmuch as when you look in Exodus chapter 12 and you consider the instructions that the Lord gave, the commandment that the Lord gave to Moses and Aaron concerning the children of Israel, they must trust in the blood. They must sacrifice the lamb. That is the only way that the Lord will pass over. And that's where this word comes from. And once again, it is not Easter. It is Passover. That is the word. When we consider Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And this is the justification. It comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now we have been declared right, righteous, just by God because of our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then it says, "Much more then, because we trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and we are justified by his blood through faith, we shall be saved from the wrath," or from wrath through him. Whose wrath? God's wrath. And this again is what is easy to dismiss when we consider the work that Jesus has done. Everybody speaks about the love of God, but very rarely do you hear anybody talk about the wrath of God. This is what salvation is. Jesus Christ has shed his blood. He paid the price for us. We were undeserving. That is the richness of God's grace, as it's spelled out also in Ephesians, where it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And we're made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are brought near because of his blood, because of what he's done. So we lose sight of the wrath of God, but the wrath of God is coming just as sure as it came on Egypt, it's coming on this world. And the only way for God to pass over you is for you to trust in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The Passover has been sacrificed. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. And God has not called us to come once a year to remember and to celebrate. He's called us to do this in terms of how we live now, because we've been purchased by him, by the blood of Jesus Christ, to live for God, to obey him, to worship him, to celebrate and remember what he has done through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in shedding his blood and in being raised again on the third day by the power of God, so that we, through faith in him, his blood, and the power of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit of God, can live for God, being set free from sin, death, the grave, and the devil. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us through Christ, our Passover Lamb, who was sacrificed for us. That's it for today. But until the next time, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.